I ask you to go with me this morning to the banks of the Red Sea. The children of Israel have been delivered by God from Egyptian bondage and their misery. As they come and as they approach, the Red Sea is in front of them. The Egyptian army is pursuing them from behind. Now get this. The Red Sea stands before them. The Egyptian army is behind them, pursuing them. And on either side of the Israelites, there are mountains. From the human eye, there's no way out of this. From the human eye, there is no way to escape this. When you look at the situation from the human eye, the situation looks absolutely hopeless. Now, let's read the record of this. Turn with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 14. Exodus, chapter 14. I'm going to begin reading in verse 10 of Exodus 14, and we want to read down through Exodus 14. We want to begin reading in verse 10 and read down through verse 14. Verse 10, as Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, was it because there was no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone. Let us serve the Egyptians. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to have died in the wilderness. Verse 13. Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance that the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Now, it is critical that in your eyes, mind, that you see the situation that the Israelites are in. The Red Sea is right before them. The greatest army in the world is pursuing them from behind. So in this situation, the children of Israel turned to fear and complaining. They were terrified and they began to complain. Well, why is this happening? Why have you done this to us, Moses? Why didn't you just leave us where we were in Egypt? You brought us out here so that we can all die. And they just complain and complain and complain. Now, Exodus chapter 14 and verse 15. Then the Lord said, pause. When God speaks, everybody else needs to be quiet. Then the Lord said, when the Lord speaks, Whatever he says, the people need to get about doing it regardless of what is said. When the Lord speaks, the matter is once for all settled. Verse 15. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on." But Lord, the Reds, tell the Israelites to move on. But Lord, the great army of the Egyptians is, listen, move on. Move on. But Lord, we just don't see how we're gonna move on. Move on. Now let's bring their situation and let's set it down right here into our own personal lives. I have no idea what may happen to any of us in 2026. But it is certainly safe to say that in a place with this many people, that several of us are going to face this year our own personal Red Sea. I'm talking about the Red Sea of sickness. I'm talking about the Red Sea of losing a loved one. I'm talking about the Red Sea of having your heart broke. I'm talking about the Red Sea of being in a situation and a circumstance where from your own human eyes, you just don't see how this is going to work out. At some point, you are going to stand before your own personal Red Sea of tragedy. And at the same time you're standing there, the devil is going to be pursuing you from behind. And you're going to be asking yourself what the children of Israel were asking. Well, what am I supposed to do? Why is this happening to me? But I just don't understand all of this. What are you supposed to do? Move on. Go forward. Keep pressing. The one direction that you need to go in the new year is you need to move forward. You need to move on. You say, now, move on to where? And you know what? Move on from what to where? Great questions. Great questions. So for me, enough of all this generality. I want to share with you this morning three specific things that you need to move on to in the direction of 2026. Enough of, well, somehow work it out. No more of that. Specifically, what should we move on to? The one direction you need to go in the new year is that you need to move on from fear to greater faith. You need to move out of your fear into greater faith. Moses had brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. They're heading now into the Red Sea. In verse 10, the Bible describes the Israelites by saying that they were terrified. They weren't frightened. They weren't a little scared. They were terrified. That word terrified means they were exceedingly fearful. They were abundantly afraid. Moses then addresses them in verse 13, and Moses tells them, "Do not be afraid." Now, brethren, listen to me. When we stop living by faith, we start living by fear. When we stop walking by faith, we start living by fear. When we stop our spiritual progress, we start drowning in our fears. In 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter exhorts those Christians in verse 5. He says, all the more add to your faith. What is he doing? He is exhorting them to greater faith. Add to your faith. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Greater faith. Because here's the truth. We either add to our faith or we add to our fear. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and in verse 8, Peter says, be sober. That is, be aware of your, get hold of yourself. Because your enemy, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Brethren, do you realize the devil thrives in our fears? Because when we allow ourselves to be gripped with fear, when we allow ourselves to be gripped with fear, what happens to us is that in our fear, we forget that God is with us. The truth is, fear is the Goliath in many of our lives. Everybody has heard and everybody knows the story of David and Goliath. But I'm going to tell you something about that story you never understood. Are never recognized. The story of David and Goliath is told in great detail in 1 Samuel chapter 17. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, there are 58 verses. In those 58 verses, David makes reference to the giant two times. Verse 26 and verse 45. In those same 58 verses, David makes reference to God 9 times. David's God thoughts compared to David's Goliath thoughts were 9-2. Now let me ask you a question, and this is a question that you need to answer, and only you can answer this. Are you 4.5 times more likely to think about your faith in God than you are your fears when you are in the middle of your problem? The one direction we need to go in the new year, we need to move on. We need to move on from fear to greater faith. Now, let me show you something real interesting before we leave this thought. What is fascinating is God's reaction to their fear. Fascinating. They're terrified. Moses is trying to calm them. Well, what is God going to say? Listen, God's reaction to how they're carrying on is amazing. In verse 15, God says to them, "Why are you crying out to me? Why are you whining about this? Move on." Did you hear what I said? Why are you whining to me about this? Just move on. You say, "But God, here's this sea in front of us. God, here's this army behind us. We can't go to either side." Listen, it was true that the Red Sea was in front of them. It is also true that the Egyptian army was behind them. It is also true that mountains were on either side of them. All of that was true. But what else was true was this: God was with them. What I learned from that verse is that if God is with you, then whining and fear are not necessary. Somebody say amen. We're afraid. Let me ask you a question. Is God with you? No. I don't want a church answer. See, that's a church answer. That's like when you were a kid in Sunday school, every answer, just say Jesus. Doesn't matter what the question, just say Jesus. Because that's a church answer. Is God with you? Amen. That's a church answer. Is he really with you? Then fear and a never-ending whining is not necessary. Amen. But listen, God speak. Look, why are you crying to me? Just go on. See, he left. That never happened again in 100 years. You know that? the one direction we need to move, that we need to go in 2020. We need to move on from fear to greater faith. I don't have to be afraid. What am I afraid of? Number two, in 2026, we need to move on from backsliding to greater commitment. Greater commitment. Now, in verse 11, listen to what the Israelites were saying. This is incredible. What have you done to us, bringing us out of Egypt? Really? Look at verse 12. Listen to what they're saying. Let this register. Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? Really? You talk about backsliding. Take us back to Egypt? Really? You mean you want to go back to being slaves? You want to go back to being miserable? You want to go back to the oppression that you were there? Listen to me. This language here, this is foolish people saying foolish. This is foolish talk right here. That's foolishness. Take us back. But this crew right here, they're not the only ones to ever say that. There are many Christians today who say, take us back to Egypt. There are many Christians who take us back. We want to go back to the world. Really? You want to go back to the world? You say, well, you know, we did the church thing. The church thing didn't work out for us. The church, what does that mean? What does that mean? The church didn't work out for me. Well, you know, God just didn't work out. God wasn't enough for you? Let me tell you what happened. This is what happens, and this is as simple as I can say it. You are either going to move on to greater faith, or you are going to start moving backwards. You will either move on in your faith, or you will move backwards. Don't forget, if you stop marching, if you stop moving on, if you stop moving on to greater faith, if you stop moving on to greater commitment, you better understand this. If you stop moving on, you hinder everybody who's behind you. I mean, look at the situation. Moses is leading them out of Egypt. So they're going out of Egypt. They're heading toward the Red Sea. They're heading toward the wilderness. But they're heading ultimately to the Promised Land. Moses is leading them out. So we're marching out of Egypt. We're marching out. We're moving on. We're moving on. But if I stop, everybody behind me is hindered. Now, here's what I'm saying. Here's what I mean by that. Somebody is watching you. It may be your children. It may be your grandchildren. It may be a co-worker. It may be a neighbor. It may be another family member. But somebody is watching you. And if you stop moving on, you're going to hinder them. Listen, you are the Christian that's in their lives. You are Christ represent, and you may be the only representative of Christ that's in your life. Whether you move on or not move on is going to greatly hinder them. We need to move on from our fear to greater faith. Over and over again, Jesus asked, why do you doubt? Why are you so fearful? Where is your faith? We need to move on from backsliding to greater commitment. I don't want to go back. I want to go forward. Then bless God, go forward by the glory of God. Number three. The one direction we need to go, we need to move on to greater faith, we need to move on to greater commitment. And number three, the one direction we need to go, we need to move on from judging others to judging ourselves. Moses is leading them. And when they got there in Exodus 14, in their minds, the children of Israel put Moses on trial out there. Not only did they put Moses on trial out there, they put God on trial out there. Listen to what they said. They said to Moses, "Was it because there was no graves in Egypt that you brought us in the desert to die?" Understand what they're saying. Oh, okay, Moses, we got to figure it out now. There was nowhere in Egypt to bury all of us, so you just brought us out here to die, and we can be buried out here. Listen, every word of that is wrong. Every word of it's wrong. Listen, how much different would this year be if we stopped finding fault in others and looked at our own situation? Instead of so freely judging others, why don't you first try to walk a mile in their shoes? People's lives, don't you listen to me? People's lives splinter. They have trouble at home. They have trouble in marriage. They have trouble with their children. Their lives are falling apart. And old Sister Flapjaw's got something to say about it at the church building. Listen to me. Their lives are falling apart. And then somebody stands up and rears back, "Well, I'll tell you what, if I was in that situation, I'd do this or that." You need to be careful about them words. And then a lot of times in that situation, you just need to be quiet. "Well, I'll tell you what, if I was in that situation, I'd do this, and if I was in that situation, I'd do that." Listen, you don't know what you do till you are in that situation, and God help you, if you ever got in that situation, you might make a bigger mess of it than they have. You get too quick to judge others, and God may put you in them shoes. Hey, let's see what you do now. Amen. Listen. In 2026, it's February 1st. We got a long way to go. Listen to me. If you fail to go in this direction of moving forward, if you fail to greater your faith, if you fail to greater your commitment, and if you spent this year like you've spent the others, talking about everybody else but you, you are going to miss the mighty things that God can do in your life. But if you will move on, listen, if you will move on from fear to greater faith, if you will move on from backsliding to greater commitment, if you will move on from judging others to judging yourself, God has still got some red seas that he can part for you. And God has still got some enemies of yours that he can take out. Move on. Move on. Well, but listen, your situation is your situation. Now move on. So here it is. You go out and you get in your car. You sit in your car, and the rear view mirror is a fraction of the size of the windshield. There's a reason for that. You are only meant to glance at the rearview mirror. But your focus has to be on the road that's out there in front of you. In the Christian life, it's great to glance at what was, but that's only a fraction of what we need to be doing. We have to focus on the road that's in front of us. Listen, if you're not a Christian, you need to move on from being lost to being saved. Be baptized into Christ, and your sins will be forgiven, Acts 2:38. Be baptized into Christ, and the Lord himself will add you to the church, Acts 2, verse 47. Be baptized into Christ, and your name will be written in the rolls of heaven, Hebrews 12, verse 23. You need to move on. This morning, if you're a Christian and you're away from God, you need to move on from being fallen to being restored. The one direction we need to go is we need to move on. May God help you to move on where you need to do it, and to do it right now as together we stand and as we sing.